Well, I thought this weekend of Trinities couldn't get better. It was beautiful what you shared with us. Yesterday was, I thought, as close to heaven as I could get. A trinity of British Lions first thing in the morning. England cricket in the afternoon. And then the evening. England-Scotland football. Forgive me if you think this is akin to watching paint dry. But let me tell you, Harry Kane's his right foot is a source of great thanksgiving to me. A trinity, a bit of heaven on earth, and then hearing today from our confirmation and baptism candidates of the way heaven has come to earth for them, about the way in which God's word has been made flesh in their experience. They know that I will be with you always, as Jesus promised, because they know it in their own experience and lives. So this weekend is just getting better and better. Gospel reading. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. One of the things, the many things I loved in the poem and the testimonies, in what you shared so deeply for us, was the authenticity, the realism, the down-to-earthness of it. I don't know about you, but I'm not really interested in a Christian discipleship, a following of Jesus, that isn't earthed, that isn't down-to-earth and real. And it struck me how real your testimonies were. Think of these first disciples. There have been, over the 50 days, a number of encounters with the risen Lord. Some had seen him crucified and thought everything he spoke of the kingdom of God had come to nothing. But then over those series of encounters with the risen Lord, Jesus has come to them, recommissioning Peter. How authentic is that? Calling his disciples to him, eating with them. The same Jesus, and yet different. No longer crucified, dead and buried, but raised by the Father. And now we have this last of all the encounters at the end of his earthly ministry. And Matthew is so good to us in that he doesn't leave out the reality. They worshipped him, but some doubted. My dear friends, brothers and sisters, where are you tonight? Well, I know where you are, but where are you in your journey? Some of you are coming, I know, to the end of an academic year. And God bless you on your way as you return to your homes and places of work over the summer. But as you look back, you might be saying, well, it didn't quite go this year as I'd hoped it would. And there are things in my life that haven't yet been put right. And so where am I tonight? Well, I'm a bit like those first disciples. I'm worshipping, but there are areas of question. There are areas of doubt. There are things that have happened. I'm not proud of them. And what I want to say to you all is trust this Jesus. He always, always meets us where we are, not where we might be. This is good news for me and for the whole world. Christine, my wife's here, and when the news of becoming bishop here came through, we sat down and we went through all the stages of our journey, and we thought about all the people who'd loved us and cared for us and prayed for us and ticked us off and put us back on the horse when we'd fallen off. And one of these was Mr. Lang. Now, Mr. Lang was a school teacher of mine who loved cricket like I did. And I realise now that as far as the staff at school were concerned, Mr. Lang and I were together, and I was his project. I used to spend a lot of time outside his classroom, sent by other teachers. He had such a wonderful way of accepting me, of walking with me, and yet being so straight. He knew me, and I knew I couldn't get away with much. Well, it came to the service, and at the end, at St. Paul's, I saw him, probably in his 80s, late 80s, and he came up in front of me, and I said, "Sir." And then I remembered it. I said, "Mr. Lang, it's lovely of you to be here." And he said, "Oh, Jonathan, it's been a wonderful service, but..." He said, "But." So I said, "Please go on. What is it you want to say?" And I could see the dear man was struggling. And in the end, he drew himself up on his stick and he said, "But Jonathan, at school, you were not very good." And you see, the good news of Jesus, the gospel, the good message, is that God loves sinners like me and like all of you. And he comes to call us, to meet us where we are, just where we are, in all the glory. And there is so much to be thankful for in our lives. Don't please keep for very long that form of Christianity that beats itself up, that almost competes in being the wormiest worm and the awfulest sinner. God knows you. He made you. You are made in God's image. And Jesus has come to restore that image in you. If you're wondering who you are tonight, not just where you are, you belong to Jesus. He has claimed you as his own. And as he came to those first disciples, when they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted. It didn't stop him. He knew, St. John writes, Jesus knew what was in our hearts. He knows you. He knows me. And the good news is we are loved and forgiven, called and set back on our feet. I was not very good. Well, Lord, thank you that you are good. You are the good Lord who forgives sinners, who has a plan, who won't be deflected. And his plan, I'm coming to realise, 30 years in, slow that I am, his plan isn't, I think, just one thing. Because we can get in a terrible knot about whether we've actually hit the plan or whether we're wide of it. But God's wisdom is so great. He draws out of us our love. He draws out of us our free love for him, our willingness to obey his word and follow him. And then he has, like a good parent, a wonderful way of weaving us into the best possible world for us and for his kingdom. So whatever the year's been like for you, whatever you come at the end of this day, I gather this morning was fabulous. I missed out on that. But at the end of this day of celebrating, and as we celebrate the love of God made known in Jesus, come to him. Come to him in worship. Lay down this year that's passed. Lay down this day that's passed. Offer him the next moment. "Here I am, Lord, send me." That's Isaiah's prayer. "Here I am, send me." That trinity yesterday of rugby, cricket and football, I'm sorry, but I loved it. And Harry Kane's goal. Well, I'm praying for Harry Kane. I want a room next door in heaven. What a right foot. But inspired by that little trinity, and inspired by the trinity in Matthew's gospel, I want to give all of you the three words that I think sum up the good news of Jesus for the world and for the creation. They're buried in those final words that Jesus said. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Spirit, teaching them to obey everything. I love that. Obedience pays. That's a beautiful, beautiful phrase. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Tonight in baptism and in everything in the church, we are Trinitarian. Why are we Trinitarian? We're just trying to make it complicated. Not at all. In the revelation of God in Scripture, through the people of Israel, through the church, through the Holy Spirit that has been breathed upon us, we have been astounded by the revelation of God that has been given. God with us. They're the three words. Treasure them the rest of your life. God with us. Treasure them, play with them, explore them, worship him through them. Emmanuel, God with us. What's that about? God, just that first word. Everything Christians thought they knew about God, they lay aside in favour of everything Jesus is now teaching them. When we expected God to be the most unforgiving, judgmental, distant, harsh, capricious, God comes to us in the vulnerability of a baby to bring us home to love, offering God's human finger to his virgin mother. God in vulnerability. If you expected that of God, I'm amazed and I rejoice. That first word, God with us, God. What do Christians mean by God? Well, everything has to be rethought in the light of the Word made flesh, Christmas. In the light of the cross, where God, in our humanity, goes to the very depths for you and for me to heal our infirmities, to forgive our sins, and bring us home to love. God, everything we know about God. Each day, come Holy Spirit, teach me afresh. God with. See, that's the thing. That's the thing about Mr. Lang. He had an incredible ability, has I'm sure, an incredible ability of coming alongside, putting you at your ease, making you drop your defences, and building trust so that you can be real. That's our God. The God we have come to know in Jesus, the Word made flesh for us. Think of the Emmaus Road. Those two friends who'd followed Jesus to the cross and thought everything about this beautiful, beautiful rabbi who was more than a rabbi, but everything he'd spoken about God's place for the poor, the vulnerable, the outcast, those neighbours we don't really like. Whoever it is, God has a place for them, for you. You're not left out. You're not abandoned. You're not discarded. You are loved and called. And those two friends loved that message and went back to their hometown of Emmaus, disconsolate, heavy-hearted, because Jesus was crucified, betrayed, and buried. And he comes alongside and he opens their eyes. He eats with them. He shares their life. And that's what he wants to do with you and with me. That's what he wants to do for each of our confirmation candidates and each of us who've been confirmed a while. Each day to be with us in it, to be with us in the struggle, to be with us in the joy. God with us. Now this is crucial, because in the kingdom of God there's only us. And we are sent as he was sent by the Father's love to the world. So he now sends us into the world to love those around us into life. Allow him to love in you, that others may catch a vision for themselves of the Spirit-filled life. God with us. That's it. That's the whole good news of Jesus for the world, for the creation, and for you, for you, for you. Do you recognize that's for you? If you do, tonight in worship, in coming up to dip your hand and make the sign of the cross on your forehead. It's a very, very ancient practice. Christians have been doing it for, 1600 years. Whatever it is, make your move again tonight, because God is always making his move to you. Well done, confirmation candidates, and those about to get cold and wet. God bless you. God keep you. And remember, you don't have to be good to be a follower of Jesus. You just have to be thankful. Amen.